In the last podcast, we looked at Jesus's first full-length parable, the parable of the one having sown, if you recall. And you might have wondered why we stopped where we stopped. Why, when Jesus, in the very same setting, continues on to give quite a few more parables, didn't we look at all of them together? Well, I'll tell you. It's because Jesus, all of a sudden, changes directions right here, where we're about to start. He decides all at once to pull back the curtain and tell us all about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like, he will begin all of these parables we're about to read. And I have always found this particular set of parables particularly moving. Have you ever been on a trip or a vacation or to a particular destination that was just the best ever? Totally blew you away, like indescribable. And then you came back to reality, to your friends, to work, and people were like, oh yeah, how was that? You're looking at them like, how was that? You have no words. It was what it was. It was just too glorious for words. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, now you have just the beginning of the feeling that Jesus must have felt as he turned his descriptive powers to trying to give adequate imagery to his own kingdom. So let's listen. This is Matthew 13, starting in verse 24. Then he put another parable before them. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the crop came up and ripened, the weeds appeared as well. Then the owner's servants came up to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did all these weeds come from? Some blackguard has done this to spite me, he replied. Do you want us then to go out and pull them all up? Said the servants. No, he returned. If you pull up the weeds now, you would pull up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together till the harvest. And at harvest time, I shall tell the reapers, collect all the weeds first and tie them up in bundles ready to burn. But collect the wheat and store it in my barn. Now, because Jesus is going to circle back and give his own explanation to this parable later on, I don't really want to comment on it yet, except for one thing. With this parable and the parable of the merchant and the pearl that's coming up, I have almost never heard them taught about, talked about, or really understood rightly because we tend to focus in them on the wrong subject. Didn't you tend to hear my reading of that parable just now as if it said, the kingdom of heaven is like a field that has both wheat and weeds in it? But that's not what it says. Let me reread to you verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like that man who sowed good seed in his field. Remember that now, because we'll meet him later. I'll continue reading. Then he put another parable before them. The kingdom of heaven is like a tiny grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. As a seed, it is the smallest of them all, but it grows to be the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree big enough for birds to come and nest in its branches. And I so wish right now that you and I were together rather than on just a podcast, because I would just love to say, what have you always received from that parable? What jumps off the page for you? What, for your heart, does Jesus mean? Well, for me, it's clear that he wants us here to clue in on the size before and after and on the cause and effect relationship that goes with those sizes, both before and then really during and after. So how big is the kingdom of heaven when it's first planted in our heart? Tiny, the smallest of them all. And what does that tiny seed within us, that alive life in us, finally yield in the end? A tree big enough for others to find a home there. So its starting size, or our perception of the power entailed in this little bit of life doesn't matter at all compared with what it will become. And its purpose is only and ever to grow, and its growth is meant to harbor and help and house the hearts of others. That is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Let's continue. This is another of the parables he told them. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast taken by a woman and put into 3 measures of flour until the whole lot had risen. Did you know that in a typical bread recipe, the dry weight of the active yeast to be added represents only about 0.3% of the total weight of all ingredients? And have you observed that once mixed into the dough, that little bit of yeast becomes almost as if invisible? Like it's everywhere and sort of also nowhere. For me, over this new year, I've been reading in T.E. Lawrence. He's famously remembered as Lawrence of Arabia. And I have grown fascinated by his tactical thoughts as he helped to steer the Arab uprisings in World War I. And I want you to listen to how he described the difference between his force and the opposing Turkish forces. Listen to what he wrote. In our case, the algebraic factor would take first account of the area to be conquered. A casual calculation indicated perhaps 140,000 square miles. How would the Turks defend all that? No doubt by a trench line across the bottom. If the Arabs were an army attacking with banners displayed. But suppose they were an influence, a thing invulnerable, intangible, without front or back, drifting about like a gas. Armies were like plants, immobile as a whole, firm-rooted, nourished through long stems to the head. The Arabs might be a vapor, blowing where they listed. Friends, the kingdom of heaven, we who already inhabit this wonderful kingdom of heaven, are to be yeast, an influence, a thing invulnerable, intangible, without front or back, drifting about like a vapor. And we too, like yeast, are meant to be causing a rising up, really, like Lawrence, an uprising. Our kingdom army of love is meant to be conquering the world with the love of Jesus. Everywhere and seemingly nowhere, the actual aroma of Christ. We continue. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them at all without using parables to fulfill the prophecy. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Isn't that good? Continuing. Later, he left the crowds and went indoors, where his disciples came and said, "Please explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And I said this before, but I want you to pay attention now to the subject of that parable. "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man," replied Jesus. There it is. So I'll remind you of verse 24 and then come back. Listen. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field," he said. And now he says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." Jesus. In that earlier parable in our last podcast, Jesus was both the sower and the seed. In this one, he is the sower who is himself the whole kingdom. I just cannot say enough about how much this should mean to us. There is a kingdom of heaven. All the greatest grandeur and true joys of earth are as nothing when compared to it. The highest heights of all creation are an emanation from it. And this kingdom has a king who embodies it all. It all lives in his heart, body, mind, and spirit. You want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like? Look at Jesus. And this Jesus has come, the king of a kingdom that is himself. And on this day, Matthew 13, and on every day, it is his delight to give us more of himself, more of himself that is the kingdom, more of himself who is the king of a kingdom that is himself. Every minute, my friend, of your life that you give to this Jesus is life. The rest is just you passing through. That's what we're talking about here. This is everything. I'm going to continue reading. The field is the whole world. The good seed, that is the sons of the kingdom. The sons of the kingdom. It's direct children. Think about it this way. When a king has sons, what title are they given? Prince. They are royalty immediately. Friends, we are sons and daughters. We are royal heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And don't you ever forget it. While the weeds, he goes on, are the sons of the evil one. The blackguard who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of this world. The reapers are angels. Just as weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so will it happen at the end of this world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will uproot from the kingdom everything that is spoiling it, and all those who live in defiance of its laws, and will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be tears and bitter regret. Then the good will shine out like the sun in their Father's kingdom. The man who has ears should use them. Now clearly here, we are dealing in some of Jesus's most trenchant, straightforward talk about the realities of judgment, of good and evil, of heaven and hell. These are among his most direct words on those subjects. And it's been my observation that when we come across his unvarnished thoughts on these very difficult subjects, we tend to do one of four things. Here's my four things. The first, we ignore it, like pretend that he never actually said it. Or secondly, we argue it. We try to prove him wrong despite our fairly clearly limited viewpoint. Number three, we soften it. Like, really? That doesn't seem like Jesus. Or four, we look him in the face and ask him what to do. So, does anyone listening to this podcast want to ignore this, argue it, soften it? No? Good. Then let's go to him. Because despite the fact that he himself arrived under the midst of broken, lost, sinful people, how did he conduct himself? What was Jesus' life like amidst the weeds? Well, for me, simply, I would say he was himself, loving, direct, engaged, going about the work of being the Savior of all. That was Jesus as he transited among the lost. And so while I know that we have spent the bulk of the last 2,000 years coming up with clever systems for our Christianity, remember this, nothing works like Jesus. So when we read sections like this that point to such difficult subjects that scare us a little bit and we get a little squirmy and uncomfortable inside, I would say, why don't we look at him in the pattern that Paul gives us in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. This is so good. Please listen closely. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And here I would interject, so that is our job, to so steadily stare at Jesus that our face, our countenance becomes as his. And then will come the ministry to the lost. This is Paul continuing. You see, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Ah, isn't that so wonderful? So friends, in the presence of the lost, of brokenness, and within the realities of heaven and hell, your highest ministry is first to stare into the wondrous face of Jesus and be absolutely lit up. You cannot pass on light that you yourself have only ever heard about. But possessing it, possessing Him, you are every day eminently prepared to actually light up the world and save this world from death and the grave. You see, He is the light of the world, and so are you. You are the light of the world. You just have to let Him do His thing in you. Isn't that wonderfully freeing? Oh, I just get so joyous when I remember those truths. All right, we'll continue on. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like some treasure which has been buried in a field. A man finds it and buries it again and goes off overjoyed to sell all his possessions to buy himself that field. And here I'm going to do something a little different for a podcast. I just love that one so much, especially coming on the heels of what we just read in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. So what I want to do is I want to reread that little parable, and I want you just to push pause on the podcast, and I want you to just say, Jesus, what does that mean? What does it mean that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that I could just sell everything to have? So I'm going to read it again, push pause, and just have a moment with Him about this beautiful little parable. I'm going to read again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like some treasure which has been buried in a field. A man finds it and buries it again and goes off overjoyed to sell all his possessions to buy himself that field. All right, go ahead and push pause and spend a moment with Him on that. All right, we continue reading. Or again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he has found a single pearl of great value, he goes and sells all his possessions and buys it. And I mentioned this earlier, but here is the other parable where we tend to hear its subject wrongly. I think thinking that it's just sort of a restating of that last one, the treasure in the field. It's not. Let me reread to emphasize what I mean. Listen. The kingdom of heaven is like what? A merchant doing what? Searching for fine pearls. If the opening parable in today's section said that Jesus is the kingdom of heaven itself, then we come close to our close in hearing, get ready for this, that we, you and I, are the kingdom of heaven too. For are we not people who yesterday and today are finding this Jesus to be the pearl of great price, worthy of our everything? Aren't we learning to give Him more of ourselves, more of our time, more of our days, really our all in all, in order to gain Him? Are we not merchants after that glorious pearl that is Himself? Are we not ourselves the kingdom of heaven He's pointing to here? I love it. Isn't that just earth-shattering when you stop to realize He had you in mind here? Ooh, I'll continue. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a big net thrown into the sea, collecting all kinds of fish. When it is full, the fishermen haul it ashore and sit down and pick out the good ones for the barrels, but they throw away the bad. That is how it will be at the end of this world. The angels will go out and pick out the wicked from among the good and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be tears and bitter regret. Have you grasped all this? Yes, they replied. And by the way, I would just add here, there is no way that they have grasped all this. I just love that right there, they actually tried to bluff Jesus. But what I really love about that last parable, and how it really, to me, enlarges upon the theme of the parable of the wheat and weeds, is that the kingdom of heaven is like a big net thrown into the sea, and did you catch the last part there? Collecting all kinds of fish. Friends, it is all around us. It envelops us. It has swallowed us whole. No one can run from the grasp of the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. Lost and found. Good and evil. Saved and still needing to be saved. We are all of us swept up in the net of his love, and he is bigger than all of life. And so, oh, friends, won't we let the world see his life in ours? Won't we glory so that all may see, that all may enter into his glory as we are just beginning to do? That's the question of the net parable. Won't we be swept up and sweep others into? And then let's conclude today's section. You can see then, returned Jesus, how everyone who knows the law and becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who can produce from his store both the new and the old. So friends, to sum up, the kingdom of heaven is Jesus. It starts small, but with mighty loving results. It's an uprising, intangible like a vapor. It's a boundless treasure. It's us. It's the net of life, and the kingdom of heaven is the nexus of the old and the new forevermore. The kingdom of heaven is meant to be and to become our life. The kingdom of heaven is where all this is going. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.